Recorded live at the Dick Fitzner Amphitheater. It's a special presentation of the Nate Darling Show, the second annual Golden Naked Man Awards. It's a look at the Oscars through a different set of eyes. And now joining me, Hootie and Jason Knight. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
There we go. We have everybody online now. Excellent. Ah, so the Oscars just wrapped up in Hollywood after an incredibly long telecast, 3.5 hours, not counting the red carpet ceremony beforehand. Holy God. I don't recall a longer Oscar ceremony ever. Do you guys?
No.
Yeah, the year the English Patient won, but that's going back a long time.
I blame the musicals, because music takes a long time, and rolling out everybody singing, and did we really need Chicago? Did we? The entire cast singing away, and I don't know. Hootie, what do you think? Did we need Chicago back?
I actually didn't mind Chicago so much. I think if you're going to put that much performance into a show, then take out half of the awards that you normally give out during the award ceremony. Because I think if one thing, if you watch award shows like the Grammys, is really points this out, no one cares about the people who win the awards. They care about seeing performance. And if you're going to get performance heavy like they did tonight, I don't need to see short films, animated films, technical awards, announcements from presidents, and this, it's too much crap. It's just like anybody who was watching probably was loving the fact that there was actually some music here and there, with the exception of Nate. And then you it's a buzzkill. It's come out and you go, and the award for the best makeup caking by a foreign person goes to, and why? But anyway,
so Jason, what did you think? Did we really need Chicago?
Man, that whole number, I wasn't a fan of Chicago, but I might be a sucker if I think the Castle of Miz kind of brought it back around. I don't know. I'm not a super huge musical fan, but I think that might have put a nice little bow on it for me. But
they weren't. Nobody was bad. Let me just say that nobody did a bad job. I just think it was a little too much. And as my friend Larry, who is one of the gayest people ever, said on Facebook, this is the gayest Oscars ever. And I can't help but agree with him, because it was, in fact, the gayest Oscars ever.
I think Seth MacFarlane even pointed that out on the air, too.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get with our awards so that we don't drag on for 4.5 hours here, because we don't have that kind of time. Let's start out with our first Golden Naked Man, Seth MacFarlane. Should he stick to the cartoons, or should he come back and host again? Jason, what do you think?
Definitely, I think he should come back. I think he should come back and do it again. I think I was worried it could have gone either way very easily, and I was pleasantly surprised with how he did.
Hootie, what do you say?
He needs to come back, but only as a co-host with Shatner.
Ooh.
Once Shatner left, it was missing something. It was magical with the two of them together.
It was. I was a little surprised to see Shatner, but I thought they handled that well. You know, and I don't necessarily mind music, because he had some funny songs at the beginning of the whole thing, and even to close, which. Kristen Chenoweth, really great singing. Kristen Chenoweth speaking should not ever happen in a public place. Thoughts?
It's probably why they dropped a lighting rig on her when she was on The Good Wife. Anyway,
too soon.
Too soon? 150 years is too soon?
Too soon.
Anyway, yes, she creeps me out. Her head and her body together, she kind of looks like the aliens from Mars Attacks, if like they actually sprouted skin. If you're with somebody who has the Wicked soundtrack, she's a part of your life way too often. So yes, I could do with less of her.
And I vote Seth MacFarlane, come back. Not necessarily next year, but it would be nice to have like a rotation of good hosts so that you can get them to, so that you're not like, when we had that long run of Billy Crystal, I think it just, it's too much. And even he said so in Entertainment Weekly that it's just like a 6-month grind to prepare to host the Oscars. And you know, really busy, successful people don't have that kind of time. So yes, come back, but not necessarily next year. All right, the song and dance or dance performance that sent you scrambling for more booze, if in fact you had access to booze. I have an answer for that. Mine was, it came early, and it was when Joseph Gordon-Levitt danced with Harry Potter and sang High Hopes.
I was curious when Harry Potter became part of the Rat Pack.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what is this? Jason, did you have a moment besides that one?
I think when all that jazz started playing, I reached for my beer. Maybe took two big chugs.
It's a fair point. Hootie, I know you are not in a position to be drinking during the show, but at which point did you wish you could?
Well, see, because I couldn't drink, I went scrambling for better performances. And it started first with when they did Goldfinger. I went back and found the version of the Crane family. That would be Fraser Crane, Martin Crane, and Niles Crane singing Goldfinger in a bar in Seattle.
Nice.
But that was then later topped when Barbara came out and sang The Way We Were. I had to go and find the best version of that song, which exists in Naked Gun 2.5. And that made up for everything with the lack of being able to drink. I was able to at least, you know, cleanse the palate with something much more entertaining.
Fair point. That's an interesting way to handle it. So,
huzzah. There's only so much you can do when you're being paid to be dry and witty. And by dry, I mean having no Cabernet.
Right. Okay. Now the winner that you were rooting for, if you did have a winner that you were rooting for, if one of your hopefuls did in fact win, who was your big hope that actually pulled one out?
It was a double whammy for me. I was not expecting Christoph Waltz to win. It was by far the best performance I saw this year by any human being, and when he won, I just shot straight through to the stratosphere. It was such an amazing awesomeness, because everyone was talking about that it was either going to be De Niro or Tommy Lee Jones, and I'm not taking anything away from those dudes. They rocked it just as much. It's just, to hear Christoph Waltz do what he did with Tarantino's words was just magic. And then and then having Tarantino win best screenplay was just, again, just a treat, a treasure. It was a crime against humanity that he wasn't nominated for best director. I can't say enough good things about Django Unchained, and I'll just stop now because I'll just sound like a rambling idiot.
Okay, Jason, who are you rooting for that pulled one out?
I totally agree with Christoph Waltz. I was so happy when he got it, because I filled out a little my ballot to see who would, you know, and I was teetering between him and De Niro, and I went with him, and I'm glad. I think he's a genius. As an actor.
Yeah, I would agree. It's a tie for me between Christoph Waltz, because, and it's not necessarily what he does on screen, because I haven't seen Django yet. So I don't know what he does in Django. I know what he did in Inglourious Basterds, but I've seen and heard him interviewed, and he's just such a class act and so seemingly down to earth with everything. And I just rooted for him. And the second big winner was The Stare that took out Jennifer Lawrence. That was my next thing that I was rooting for. A big win for me. Not a big win for her. But me, that Stare, and Gravity all came together for one of the funniest moments of the evening. Nothing? Okay.
You're a mean man.
Look, I'm not the one who told her to wear a dress that you could smuggle four little people under. What was up with that?
Well, she's probably getting married after the awards ceremony tonight. Who knows?
I don't know. Either that or she's doing a Snow White revival. Something's going on with there. the next category is the presenter you want to come back and host. It was tough this year because I don't think there were any presenters that were super, super awesome. But I have my favorite. Jason, who is your presenter that you might like to come back and see host?
I don't think he'll do a very good job, but it'll be very entertaining. Would be Jack Nicholson.
Ooh.
I liked watching him tonight. He was kind of all over the place. Little old man ADD.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Old horny man. It was awesome.
who did you have as your presenter that you'd like to see come back and host?
Well, I too had Jack Nicholson, but then something happened during the show that made me have to kind of go outside the box with this one. I want Daniel Day-Lewis to come back and host because, damn it, he was the funniest person on the stage tonight, hands down. And then online, while I was talking with a bunch of my buds, they came up with the best idea. Our good buddy Chainsaw said this. Daniel Day-Lewis comes back and has, in each break, he portrays a previous Oscar host.
Ooh, I like
it. How amazing would that be? Daniel Day-Lewis as Bob Hope. Daniel Day-Lewis as Johnny Carson. Brilliant.
Daniel Day-Lewis as Anne Hathaway and what's his name?
And James Franco.
James Franco. At once. He's that good.
He is.
If anybody could pull it off, it's him. I agree. He was the funniest person on stage tonight. But so you're for a presenter, you both picked Nicholson. I went a different way. A presenter tonight that I would like to see come back and host. And this is just, the evil part of me. Kristen Stewart. I think that would be an Oscars that no one would ever forget.
Wow.
Because
pass the heroin, Gene. Anyway.
Nobody has the coke whore look down pat better than her. And what a weird dichotomy, because she was sitting directly behind Spielberg. So you had the shot of quite possibly the greatest director who's ever lived, and behind him, the least emotive actress who's ever been captured on film. It was just weird to me.
She was amazing in Panic Room when she had asthma.
Okay. I can't comment on that.
I'm just saying, if you want to see true raw emotion, you see her gasping for air along with 4-month pregnant Jodie Foster's boobs, you go back and watch Panic Room.
Here's what I think happened there. Jodie Foster, because she is so method, probably to get that performance, punched her in the chest right before they rolled so that she literally could not get air.
This is true.
So I'm going to give that to Jodie Foster.
All right. I will give you that one.
And speaking of Jodie Foster, The Americans on FX, which if you haven't seen it yet, it's a very good show. It's based on Soviet spies operating in the early 80s in and around Washington, D.C. And this past week, they had the episode where Ronald Reagan got shot. So Jodie Foster reference in that show, since you mentioned
it. And for those of you out there who have no idea what Nate is talking about, the gentleman who shot Ronald Reagan did it to impress Jodie Foster.
Mm-hmm.
That's for the under 30 crowd, because they probably don't know what that is, but they have lots of Pokemon cards.
Yeah, and terrible history teachers, apparently.
Exactly.
Damn public school system. All right. Next category in the Golden Naked Man Awards, the foreign film, animated short, or live action short film that looked the most interesting based on the short clip you saw. I will go first. None of them. Hootie, what did you think?
Again, I'm going to move outside the box on this one there, pal, because, quite frankly, we had another amazing discovery during the show, and that was the idea of turning Unicorn Apocalypse into a movie directed by Tim Burton. Yeah. So therefore, I would have to say that's what I would like to see as a movie. If we could actually make it happen, I'm actually going to go out right on a limb now and say that we should start a Kickstarter account tonight, get this thing funded and get it greenlit and get the ball rolling, because the Unicorn Apocalypse will be so much better than zombies.
So let me get this straight. The best short film you saw during the Oscars was a commercial for a phone.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Jason, what did you think?
Well, I think you have to cast Johnny Depp in that to go with the Tim Burton. But I'm going to kind of have to think a little bit out of your list. I kind of want to see that the documentary, the Sugar Man, The Search for Sugar Man.
Yeah, it was that's a doc that everybody who's seen it has said is great.
So that's on my list to check out.
You can find it for $1 at most Red Boxes, and it is every bit worth $1.
It's wow, that no higher praise has been spoken tonight. It's wow. Worth every bit of that dollar you're going to spend at Redbox. Okay, the most pointless category award of the evening, aside from the ones that we're doing here on the show. Hootie, what was your most pointless category in the show?
That would be the Tech Awards. Also, runner-up, the speech by the Academy President.
If
the award's given previously, not at this show, we don't need to see them.
Right. Here's the awards that we didn't give at this show. We've shortened it by a little bit. It's still going to take some time. Jason, which ones do you think were pointless?
Kind of the music editing and the music mixing.
Mm.
To me, in my head, that's kind of the same thing, and they could have just merged that into one and saved some time there.
I went with makeup and hair, because that's really a cosmetology thing, not an Oscar thing. So, just like the Oscars tonight, I think we have a tie, and a tie goes to every award like that did not involve acting or directing. That wins the Golden Naked Man for most pointless award and category.
So the tie goes to anything that Skyfall was nominated in.
Hey.
Because Bond rules over everything.
Hey. And where was the big Bond thing that we were supposed to see with all the former James Bonds? Where did that go to?
I'm going to go on a limb and say Connery pulled out at the last minute.
That Scottish bastard. And I don't say that lightly, as I am also a Scottish bastard. But I do applaud the director, I believe it was the director of Brave, the animated film, for wearing a kilt. Because that takes balls, so to speak. To wear it,
shitty animated movie.
To wear a kilt and not show your balls takes balls. the most obnoxious person to speak or be seen tonight. You know what, Jason? Let's start with you. Who did you have as most obnoxious?
I was going to say Kristen Stewart.
Okay,
I can't talk with my mouth tonight. But yeah, she looked all cracked out.
Well, that's not obnoxious. That's just drug-addled.
No, but her voice, I don't know. She just bugs me all around.
Her voice.
She could have not been on stage, and she would have probably bugged me.
Okay, who was the most obnoxious? You know, I'll go next, because you're going to get mad at me for what I say. Tarantino. Oh. Tarantino, I thought, was the most obnoxious. not that he doesn't deserve to be, but...
he can get away with it.
He was kind of obnoxious, and you know, he had the drunk sweats going. So he looked like he'd been drinking quite a lot, which he might have been. It's a party. And had the top two buttons unbuttoned on his shirt, had the tie loose. So I thought he was the most obnoxious, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Not just any tie, my friend. He had a black leather tie.
That is true.
And so what if you're sweating, Jim? That just shows you're a man. Anyway.
Look, I had no problem with it. I just, it was a very humble sort of award ceremony overall. I thought he was the most over-the-top obnoxious type tonight. What did you think?
I have to go with Anne Hathaway. First and foremost,
ooh, good
because,
pick.
Because of the bra and the dress, honestly, what was going on with those nipples? I mean, seriously, that's all I could think about and watch the whole... it was just horrible. And then the look on her face when they had the five boxes of the women there ready to, you know, accept their nomination, she was halfway standing up by the time they were announcing the nominees and looked like she was going to cut up Sally Field if for some reason she won.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I don't really want to hear from Anne Hathaway again until they announce Devil Wears Prada 2. Other than that, I'm not interested in hearing from her for quite some time. Because I've had enough.
If they need to make another Batman movie, she can do that.
I don't know. I've had quite enough of her. I think we can get somebody else. I'm just saying.
No, we can't.
This is an argument. It's merely contradiction. Anyway, so I wanted to make it. I had a couple of observations throughout the show. So they brought out the cast of Avengers, which I thought was pretty cool. except the one thing that sort of bumped me about the whole thing was Sam Jackson's outfit.
What was wrong with that?
Well, he obviously got it at the secondhand store from the My Cousin Vinny movie, because it was the same color jacket. It was that sort of crushed velvet purple, which is very very interesting choice.
See, on the list of your awards here for coolest person in the room, I know I might be getting ahead a little bit. I voted for his jacket. The coolest person in the room.
Okay, that's fine. Who did you think was the coolest person in the room?
Once again, we'll be going back to the Jack Nicholson. Anytime he's sitting in the front row with his sunglasses, he's the only thing that's important in the room, as far as I'm concerned. And that was the fatal flaw in Seth MacFarlane's opening monologue. He did not acknowledge Jack. When Jack is right in front of you, you have to acknowledge him.
You know, I think he might have been a little intimidated by Nicholson's presence.
Yeah, I tell you.
Because that's entirely possible. As far as coolest person in the room for me, I went with Clooney, because I don't think you can go wrong with Clooney. And when Seth MacFarlane tossed him the tiny bottle of alcohol, he opened it. Because he's Clooney and he can do that. So that's, if you cannot argue with Clooney being the coolest person in any room, I'm sorry.
Do you think Clooney copied Affleck's beard, or did Affleck copy Clooney's beard?
I'm going to go ahead and say that Affleck copied Clooney's beard.
I'll second that.
Because I don't see it going the other way. I don't see Clooney copying anybody's anything, because he's Clooney. I mean, let's be quite honest. He's coming a long way from Facts of Life. So the only thing that might be, you might be able to come close to topping Clooney if Sam Jackson's jacket was on Jack Nicholson, then maybe.
You'd have a neck-and-neck race with that one.
It would be close. So that's pretty much it for that one. The next award, the Why Is This Person Famous? / Get Them Off the Stage Award. Who did you want off the stage? Because most of the people were at least relatively famous or doing a musical number.
That would be the bruised, limping, and possibly drunk and high Kristen Stewart.
Okay.
It was one thing to limp out and stuff, but then to see basically the disheveled hair, along with the bruise on the arm that wasn't covered up, and then the delivery, it made me wonder why is she famous, and also made me wonder why couldn't they get Lindsay Lohan here tonight?
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I think I have an explanation for the bruise and the disheveled hair. My guess is she was blowing a dude in a closet, and he helped her up really quick because she had to go out on stage. So thus the bruise on the arm and the disheveled hair.
They're calling your name.
They're calling your name.
Hurry
you
up.
Have to go out. Nothing? Nothing? Okay.
Okay,
he's
fine.
He's got no comment from the other end because I made a blowjob joke. Anyway, Jason, who did you want off the stage?
I'm with everybody on that one. She could have been off the stage all night. I would have been all right with that.
I voted for Anne Hathaway. You hit on some of the reasons why earlier, Udi. Anne Hathaway just seems so entitled. Like everybody said, oh, Anne, you're going to win this. And oh, Anne, you're going to win that. And oh, Anne, you lost all this weight to play the thing. And I think it went to her head. She started to believe everybody kissing her ass. And it all sort of came out on stage. And I was just like, go away. Where is the Play Her Off music? Which, by the way, best Play Her Off music ever this year. The theme from Jaws to get people off the stage and get them to wrap up. Fantastic. I don't know who had that idea, but they should be given an Oscar for brilliance. Just
yes.
For that. Okay, Hootie?
Crickets.
Well, I'm waiting for you to add into that. That's fine. The Best Newly Dead Person Award, which can go to either someone you're glad is dead, someone who you weren't aware was dead, or the person that you're saddest to see died. Jason, who went to your Dead Person Award?
Wow. I just drew a blank. Why don't why don't you take that right now?
My air.
Yeah, my air just died.
Dead air. Hootie, who was your favorite dead person?
Once again, I'll have to go with Kristen Stewart. Anyway, thank you. I'll be here all week. Thank you. The only thing that I was surprised by and was happy to see, not that he's dead, but the fact that MCA got some recognition in the Oscar montage. Yeah. He did a lot of stuff outside of being a Beastie Boy, and it was cool. And it totally slipped my mind that he, you know, had achieved so much in filmmaking. It was cool to see him in there with all the Ernest Borgnines of the world. So,
okay. I went with Jack Klugman because I love Jack Klugman. I think he was awesome. Love Jack Klugman and Quincy. Love Jack Klugman and The Odd Couple. And it's tough to do better than Jack Klugman. Not the biggest array of stars that we lost over the past year, though. It's probably one of the, I guess, least big name in memoriams I can recall, which is neither good nor bad. It's just sort of is. I mean, Ernest Borgnine was probably the biggest name, at least for people now. I mean, there were some old timey actresses.
Clark Duncan was in
there. Oh, yeah, Michael Clark Duncan. But again, not a huge star. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a guy who worked in marketing, and there was some applause when they announced him. I don't know if people were glad he was dead or what that was about. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Klugman. Jason, do you have an answer now?
I do. I would probably go with the classics, Ernest Borgnine, Michael Clark Duncan. Once I got, you'd see those pieces put together, and you're like, it's kind of funny sometimes you realize we've lost more people than we thought we have this mm-hmm. year. So.
Yeah, the other person would be Nora Ephron, who I had forgotten had passed away this year. Mm-hmm. Relatively young, too, so... So next up, the post award. This is the weird one that you proposed, Hootie. So the post award show Twitter feud you hope to get started because of TMZ. Since it was your idea for this category, which let you start that off?
Well, see, the inspiration for this category came from what happened with the drummer of the Black Keys and Justin Bieber's followers over the course of the last 2 weeks.
Right.
So I thought it would be cool if it happened again with the Oscars. And I think it would be amazing for Daniel Day-Lewis and Meryl Streep to have a Twitter feud and to go back and forth against each other, posing insults, because they would do it in a very dignified and entertaining way.
Mm. Okay. Jason, did you have a Twitter feud you'd like to see?
Yes. Samuel L. Jackson's jacket and Jack Nicholson.
Nice. I guarantee Samuel L. Jackson's jacket has a Twitter feed by now if it didn't before. Don't know about Nicholson, so that's a good choice. My first reaction to that, because I was looking for something like a joke or something like that, would be Seth MacFarlane versus Kim Kardashian, which I think would be funny, simply because it would be a war of wits that would be completely one-sided, but she has so many dumbass Twitter followers a la Bieber that it would be quite amusing to watch. That was the thing that sort of popped to my head.
Yeah, and then Kanye would kick his ass.
Yes, Kanye would kick his ass. Because Kanye's a famous badass. I think it'll be fine.
No, but he's proven that he does well when he's angry.
Okay. All right. So you're on Team Kanye?
I'm totally on Team Kanye.
Okay. So you're now a fan of the Kardashians?
Negative.
Okay. But Team Kanye includes the Kardashians now.
Because you put sperm in a woman doesn't mean you joined a team.
Oh, no. Oh. Once you join the Kardashians, you're in. It's like the mafia.
It's like a cult.
But she's still married to Chris Humphries, thank you.
Well, she is. That's true. But once you get drawn into the Kardashian vortex, you're in. You're not getting out. It's not happening. So he's with them now. Wait till next year. Wait till next year when you see him golfing with Bruce Jenner, looking all beat down and stuff. It's going to be sad. The Dear God, You Look Horrible in HD Award. This is always a fun one. My nominee is Jack Nicholson.
Oh, how dare you, sir?
Sorry. He does. He looks every bit of the 800 years old he is with his sunglasses. HD is not kind to him. Sorry. I didn't see that many people that looked that bad, but he just looked really kind of disheveled. So, Jason, who did you think looked horrible in HD?
Going back to my pocket answer is Kristen Stewart.
Oh, I thought you were going to Sam Jackson's jacket again.
Damn it, I was hoping. I knew it was going to be Sam Jackson's jacket. Damn it.
I'm going to throw a curveball in there for you guys.
Yeah, Hootie, who is your HD nightmare tonight?
That would be Renee Zellweger. Thank you for showing me all the different places on your face that Botox has been put in.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I guess if you look close, it would be that.
She looked like an extra from Death Becomes Her when she showed up to give out the award. I just didn't understand how she could even move her lips, and her eyes were so, like, almost as like they had to cut for her to be able to see.
It's been a long, hard road for Renee.
It has.
So I can't really feel bad about that. What did you guys think of the closing number? Going back to all the musical stuff with Chenoweth and Seth MacFarlane, obviously written as, at least in part, as the Oscars were going on. You know, you write the framework of the song, but the lyrics, you got to know who lost to write the whole song. What did you think, Udi?
I think the only reason it happened was because they teased it. That's all. It was not necessary. It was god-awful, and they didn't even want to be singing it.
No, they did not. It was at the very end. Jason, what did you think of it?
You know, it felt really forced, and it was a good time to go use the restroom.
I didn't mind it, just because they were rolling credits over it, and what else would they have had? It's not like they extended the show. They had to roll credits anyway, so I would rather have at least some sort of entertainment as opposed to just soft music over shots of the crowd getting up and leaving. So I didn't mind it. It wasn't good. It's just like my review of the new Die Hard movie. I didn't mind it, but it wasn't good.
No, your review of the new Die Hard movies was you wanted 10.50 from Bruce Willis.
I do want my 10.50 back from Bruce Willis, just for his acting over the green screen. And if you see the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
Jason, you saw the movie.
I saw the movie, and I agree with everything Nate says on that one.
It has quite possibly the worst acting ever by a bad guy in a finale scene, and I will leave it at that because I don't want to spoil it for people. Over green screen.
All the more curious now. Oh my god!
I know you're going to see it, and that's fine. Look, it's been number one at the box office. It's what you expect from a Die Hard movie, but compared to the other Die Hard movies, it sort of paled in comparison. It was a lot of noise. Michael Bay could have made it, quite frankly, for all of the explosions and that sort of thing. But that's the other thing. And for the Oscars next year, I just want to say this: The Rock has, and this is a rough estimate from the previews I've seen, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, has somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 to 50 films coming out this year, and I figure he should get somewhere between 3 to 5 Oscar noms just on sheer numbers alone. Hootie, what do you think?
He does have a lot of movies coming out, and I'm really hoping at this time next year we're talking about Fast and the Furious 6 for Best Picture, because quite frankly, the 3-minute trailer has sold me as the most exciting thing to happen in 2013.
What about his film with Mark Wahlberg?
No, Men with Muscles is no. No.
G.I. no. Joe?
Well, we've had to wait. We've had to wait a year, so sure.
You'll believe that when you actually see it open in the theater.
Exactly.
Well, yes. Yeah. Well, they got to do something right after WrestleMania, so why not?
Sure. Well, and Bruce Willis coming off of the Die Hard movie.
Exactly. Getting back to your the song that ended the Oscars.
Yeah.
What would have worked better is if they would have re-racked the boob song. Get it?
Oh yeah.
Re-racked the boob song, because I know you love puns. The boob song is great, and I think the boob song needs to be on iTunes, like, now.
Because
it was one of the greatest things that's ever happened in the Oscars.
It was fantastic. I thought that was a great way to start it off. I think they set the bar really high at the beginning, and it was just such an epically long show that it sort of dragged a little bit. So that was one of the things that bothered me. Jason, were you going to say something?
Oh, I was probably the award show's getting longer because movies are getting longer these days.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Very long.
Mm-hmm.
This is 40. Was not nominated for anything, but very long for a comedy. Judd Apatow going super long with his stuff. But he is not the only one, so I can't point fingers. They're just going longer. I guess when you raise the price over $10 a film, you go, oh, well, people want more.
Get your money's worth, I guess.
So our final award of the evening is the movie you will pay to watch after seeing the Oscars. Jason, is there a movie that you will now pay to watch after seeing the Oscars?
I still want to see Lincoln. I hadn't put it off. I just hadn't had time to go see it. I've seen most everything else I want to see, but I think Lincoln will be the next one I catch in the theater.
Hootie, what about you?
I would definitely, after seeing the clip from the Best Actress performance for Jennifer Lawrence, anytime a woman flips shit in the middle of a diner and calls herself a crazy slut, I'm automatically inclined to want to see that movie. So Silver Linings Playbook will be the movie that I will pay to see first.
My first one, and there's a bunch that I do want to see. The first one I will see is Argo, because that's kind of what I've been wanting to see, and stuff has come up and I haven't. And so that would be number one. I do want to see Django. I do want to see Lincoln. And I do want to see Silver Linings Playbook, but I can wait for that. I don't need to see that in the theater, even though it's a what looks like a very good movie. I mean, it got nominated for a ton of stuff, but for me, I think it's going to be Argo for me. So that's that. I just want to remind everybody who is a regular listener of the show, this is a special edition of the show. It's the Golden Naked Man number 2. We did this last year. I think we need more alcohol. Is really the whole thing behind it. And the show actually was pretty decent. We need a train wreck type of show. That's what I need. That's why I want Kristen Stewart to host next year. Although the rumor is it's going to be Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. Is that
I have zero complaint with that idea, but I go back to the Daniel Day-Lewis theory of that would make it even better.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. One of the presenting pairings that we had early on in the show was Melissa McCarthy and Paul Rudd. How did you think that went? I was watching it with Jason, so I kind of know what he thinks. What did you think of that little presentation?
The Jaws music couldn't have come any sooner. Maybe they should have, like, since it was all about music and stuff, maybe they should have done the whole vaudeville thing where they threw stuff at them and or yanked them off with the big hook.
Yep.
It was sad because Melissa McCarthy is one of the funniest women in the world, and Paul Rudd is just a tool with a beard. And it just was the wrong pairing. And it was dreadfully painful to sit through.
It was, and the audience wasn't enjoying it. It was very evident, and they could see that. They were feeling it. You could tell how uncomfortable they were, and they even rushed themselves.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, Jason, what did your reaction to that?
They were about halfway through the little the skit, and I was lost, and then before I knew it, they wrapped it up, and it was done. I was kind of actually speechless, like I am now, because it was very bad compared to everything else. That's the thing that stands out, was probably the worst part of the show tonight.
Yeah, it was right up there. And I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but I don't see the grand humor in Melissa McCarthy. She's a woman doing Chris Farley shtick. Really, that's what I see. And you know, at this point, if Chris Farley was still doing Chris Farley's shtick, I'd probably be tired of that, too. I mean, she's okay, but I don't see what all the hype is about. I know you're a big fan. Explain it to me.
I loved her on Saturday Night Live when she hosted. And, yes, sadly, when if you're putting her movies up on the pedestal of the example of what she does, yes, you are 100% correct. She is just this crazy, slightly overweight woman doing weird, nasty shit in movies. I am a huge fan of the earlier work of hers called The Gilmore Girls, and in that television show, you really get an idea of just what kind of range she has.
Okay.
When the money comes the way it does, when you are that big a box office draw, you sadly become that one-trick pony. You become the Adam Sandler who can do a lot more, but instead chooses to play twins of himself or Big Daddy or whatever the hell else is coming out this year. And I think that's what's happening with Melissa McCarthy too often. I do look forward to seeing her in an R-rated comedy with Sandra Bullock. That looks like it has potential. But, yeah, I think she just now gets pigeonholed and typecast because she's going to get paid a shitload of money. She's getting a lot of success from doing it, and you ride that train when it happens.
Yeah, I think Sandler was a good example at one point. I think he's got enough power in Hollywood that he could make a different movie, and he would be able to do it because he has the power. But I get where the thing is with her, because and thank you for explaining that, because I had not seen the Gilmore Girls, because being a straight white dude of a certain age, I don't watch the CW. Just sorry. That's
actually the
way it is.
They rerun on ABC Family now.
Oh, well, ABC Family. That's a network I have no idea where it is at all. Sorry. Maybe I'll have to check it out just so I can see what all the big deal is with Melissa McCarthy. All right, gentlemen, we're just about ready to wrap up the show. Hootie, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can follow me at Hootsonic at Twitter.
So all sorts of pop culture stuff, movies, music, et cetera, stuff that you're probably too lazy to go find yourself. He does, because that's what he does. Jason is a filmmaker. Jason, where can we find you on the interwebs?
I have a Twitter account at JD Knight Films, and it's a lot of film, local Sacramento film talk, and some techie, nerdy stuff. So if you're into that, follow me.
Okay. Cool, and you can follow me on Twitter, at Nate Darling. Of course, you've already found me on the interwebs at natedarlingshow.com or natedarling.com. If you want to support the show and all the stuff that we do, please, if you're going to shop Amazon, go through our site, click the Shop Amazon tab. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and it does support the show. And a reminder, we are going to 2 episodes a week of the Nate Darling Show starting next week. So this week we've got the bonus show, which is this one, and a regular show. Next week we start with 2 shows, and we've got more stuff coming. So please do your part to help support the show. Gentlemen, thank you very much for helping make this a fun little endeavor, our second annual Golden Naked Man Awards.
Well, thanks for having me back.
Yeah. So, Hootie, anything you want to say to wrap this whole thing up?
Thanks, Nate.
Thank you, sir. We will talk to you soon. Hey, everybody. Have a good one. Enjoy some ABBA. Because, you know, you should. Because you can. We'll see
you. They should play more ABBA tonight.
Yeah, I know. We should have played ABBA in the musical, but that's the way things go. All right, everybody. Have a good one. We'll see you later. I'm
set once a week.